Today's message is a little bit different from what I would usually preach. So that's just how it is. It's lovely to be back after 5 weeks of long service leave. And one of the things about long service leave is you get a little bit of time to reflect, to think about the past year, to take some time out. So I'm going to pray. Jesus, please help us. Help us listen. Help us take in what's on your heart. And what I'm hoping today is that if what I share isn't relevant or isn't as helpful for you, that it might be helpful for somebody that you know who's experiencing this. And I want to talk about struggling with faith, struggling with hope, struggling with love, perhaps even feeling like people are losing faith or losing hope or losing love. That wouldn't apply to any of you, I know. But one of the things that happened when I was on leave was I just went through this sort of few weeks of feeling pretty blah. And as I was processing that a little bit with God, I felt like God showed me that there was some parts of my heart that had lost hope. Some parts of my heart that had lost hope in the promises of God, lost hope in that anything, that the thing that I was kind of pointed toward was ever going to happen. And so I started asking questions like, well, where does hope come from? How can I get it back? Because it's not a nice feeling to feel like you're losing hope, is it? And I'm aware of other people who may also feel like they're losing some hope, or some people who are feeling like they're losing faith or losing love. And you don't have to go on social media for very long to realise that people are often saying some things that aren't very loving. What does it mean? How do we struggle with feeling like it's hard to hold on to things that might be important? Well, for some of us in that space, when we feel like things are a bit rocky, we've got a few options when that happens. One of them is to do more and try harder. I've just got to, you know, pick myself up by the bootstraps. Doesn't work very well. I don't know if it works for you. It doesn't work for me. Sometimes we try and distract ourselves and avoid the hard questions or avoid the uncomfortable feelings. Or we just pretend and go through the motions because we've always done that. And isn't that what you do? Isn't that what Christians do? Or we can actually be a bit vulnerable, a bit scary, a bit honest and say, actually, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. I'm struggling with faith, or I'm struggling to love that person, or I'm struggling with hope. And as I wrestled with that, I just thought, well, what do I do? How do I get it back? And God brought to me that beautiful passage from Isaiah 55. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, buy, drink. And it was like, oh, I don't have to have it together. I can come empty. I can come thirsty. I don't have to make myself have faith or make myself have hope. I can actually just come to God and say, I haven't got any, or I haven't got what I want, or I haven't got enough. So that was really, really encouraging to me. And over the next weeks, we're actually going to be sitting in Isaiah 55 as the preaching series, because in that chapter, there is this amazing, beautiful transformation. Can I encourage you, if you're feeling in any of these places, to go and sit in Isaiah 55, because it's a powerful journey of transformation. The people who come at the beginning of that chapter, empty and hungry and thirsty with nothing, they go out by the end of the chapter and they go out with joy and they're led forth with peace and the mountain. Oh, it's just amazing what's happened in the space of that journey. But you see, the thing is, it is a journey. That's why I've called it Through the Valley. David in Psalm 23 said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, walking, he's talking about a journey, isn't he? And for all of us, our Christian life, our Christian walk is actually a journey. It's not somewhere we arrive. It's not somewhere somebody gets to. It's actually something that we go on together as a community of faith, as a community of people. And so God just encouraged me to be real, to come empty, and to also be really aware of pride in this season, of feeling like, you know, I had the right to judge or point the finger or accuse God or accuse somebody else of not playing their part. You know, to actually just come humbly and say, well, God, this is how it is. It's a vulnerable place to be. We can easily find ourselves offended or isolated. But I really, really want to encourage us that in this place, whether it's you or somebody you know from our church family or your extended family, this is real. This is how our lives walk out. God also pointed me to his word in Romans 5. And I'm not going to go deeply into that today. I do want to revisit it in other times, but I want to just point something out from Romans 5, because this is where God really challenged me as well as I was wrestling with it. And it was Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So there's this place where we can stand called grace. We enter it by faith. And when we're there, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Oh, okay. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? And hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And as I began to sit in that passage and just let God show me, it was almost like there's a progression. At the foundation of our Christian walk, there's faith. And out of that comes hope. And out of that comes love. And I felt like God was just saying, go back to faith. Go back to, because faith allows you to stand in that place of grace where hope and love can flourish again. So today I just want to do a little excursion into faith. I hope that's okay, because I feel like it's a foundation. And when faith is re-strengthened, our hope in who God is and what he says is really strengthened, and out of that comes love. Even love for our enemies or love for people who don't deserve to be loved. Anybody got in their people in their life who don't deserve to be loved? Only two people. How do you love people who don't deserve to be loved? It actually can only come from that foundation where we believe God is who he says he is. We have hope that how he says things will work out is true, and then we actually have supernatural capacity through the Holy Spirit to love our enemies. Okay, and that's the same thing where out of everything in the whole world that will remain, Paul says, it's faith, hope, and love. And he links those three together again. So I want to just dive into faith for a few minutes this morning. And I'm going to do it a little bit differently. One of the other things that God brought to mind in my journey as I was travelling with him was some material from a lady who is, she describes herself as a mentor, a spiritual director, an artist. I don't agree with everything she says, but one of the things that she describes, which I found really helpful, is a framework that helps us understand where faith is, because faith is complex. You know, sometimes we can believe God for one thing and struggle to believe him for another thing. I know people who can believe God for finances, but really struggle to believe him for relationships or for healing. And, you know, that's exactly as it is in Scripture. I just think about Abram in Genesis 15. God says, you know, you haven't got a son yet, but I'm going to give you an offspring and it's going to be as multitude as the stars. And it says there, Abram believed God, and God said that was righteous. And then 2 seconds later, in the same conversation, God says, and I'm going to give you that land. And Abram says, well, how can I know you're going to do that? It's like, I can believe you for a son, but I can't believe you for the land. And faith is complex like that. We can believe God for some things, and we find it really hard to believe him for other things. So I want to just explore using this framework that this lady called Janet Hagberg has developed, which is really helpful to help us see where we or other people might be on our journey of faith. And she describes stage one as recognizing our powerlessness and the reality of God. That's the bit where we realize we can't save ourselves. We cry out to God, God, save me, forgive me. And we actually come into that saving faith where we put our trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Oh, and we live with that sense, oh, I'm forgiven. I can't believe I'm forgiven. I'm clean. You know, we actually, and that's the start of our faith journey where we actually look to God for making us right. Look to the finished work of Jesus to make us right with God instead of somehow having to work our way to God or perform well enough for him. So in that stage, faith is just recognizing that God's real and that we need him. The second stage is where we're learning. We're taking everything in. We've got a trust of those who are discipling us and are leading us. We might be in a group where we're learning, a Bible study, a discipleship group, a small group. We're hungry. We're wanting to grow as a disciple of Jesus because we're still in that early stage of growing and being established in our faith. And so in stage two, faith is learning about God and growing in that learning to obey, and we're really earnest and passionate. One of the things I love about fairly new Christians is how enthusiastic and passionate many of them are because they've just got that fresh sort of, oh, I can't believe that God loves me and saved me, and that's a really hungry stage. You okay? You look a bit stunned here. All right. Okay, stage three. It's where we're using our gifts. We're thinking, wow, you know, God's given me, you know, he's made me a child. He's given me some gifts. I can use them. I can serve people. We're beginning to actually feel excited about seeing things shift when we pray, when we're actually beginning to walk in what it is to be a child of God. And that's an exciting stage as well. We're serving others. We're wanting to see the church flourish and build up, and we're just encouraged and blessed to use our gifts. And so faith looks like working for God and actually serving others. Okay, number four. Rethinking, questioning, doubting, reflecting. What about, I don't like that person asking a lot of questions. How come this happens if God's good? You know, asking a lot of those really deeper, wrestling with things that we feel like are inconsistent. Yeah, well, that person says they're a Christian, and look, you know, we've got a lot of doubt about leaders, got a lot of doubt about the church. Yeah, look at that. We point a lot of the fingers. We feel a lot of frustration, disillusionment, disappointment. Anybody ever been there or seen fellow Christians there? Stage four is very, very real. And it can feel very lonely because often our friends and our social connections are in a church, but we might be in a place of questioning a lot of things. Let me read some descriptions of what stage four can feel like. This is again from Janet Hagberg, which I found really, really helpful. Since people at this stage are focused inward, kind of, you know, with their own wrestle about what they do and don't believe anymore, and upward, God, where are you? They're struggling mightily with the questions. They're generally less involved in the programming of the church or organization, unless that programming is directed towards reflection and questioning. People at this stage within the church are frequently lonely. What? Lonely in a church? Who ever heard of that? They have changed, but their family, spouse, or friends may not have changed. They no longer enjoy the same worship, reading, socializing, or conversations. They at times would rather be alone. They're struggling to make sense of the countercultural way they feel. They need help with coping, feeling different. I've been in stage four, and it's a very lonely place to be. Went there in my mid-30s, and it's just a wrestle, and you feel like you don't fit anywhere, you feel like you don't belong, you feel like, am I allowed to even ask those questions? It is a lonely place. And sometimes people get stuck in that place. This is what she goes on to describe. People who are stuck here cannot reach inward to risk looking at themselves. Often we're very consumed about what those people out there are doing or not doing. We're often very blaming, very judgmental, very angry, very disappointed with others. And it's hard to look inside to see what's going on in our own hearts. We cannot reach outside because they feel no sense of community. Some people from this stage may go on a lifelong search for the right answer and make the search itself the obsession, ever learning and never coming to the truth, who is Jesus. This is generally true of those who make faith an intellectual search and are afraid to open their hearts. Some revert back to an earlier stage of the faith journey, back to the doing, back to the serving, back to the learning that's more comfortable or is a relief from the tension. And others simply drop off the journey altogether. Do we know those as well? Giving up on the pursuit of faith. Some move into a non-faith community that meets a need, usually an intellectual or a social group. It's true, isn't it? We've all seen it. We've all seen it. What I want to do now is just give you a couple of minutes to turn to somebody around you. I have a couple of questions that I want you to think about, to reflect. And they're up on the screen. Have you or someone you know experienced a season of doubt, questioning, disillusionment, struggling with faith? What did this season feel like for you, if it was you or for them? And what helped or could have helped on that journey? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to just chat with someone around you around those questions, because I think they're real, and I think it's just going to be helpful for us to explore that together and to hear each other's stories in that. So can I give you that for a few minutes? We're not going to stay here, but... I'm just conscious that I don't want to keep you too long, but just think, these are real. And I don't want you to stay here on stage four, because it's a bit of a kind of, it's not really where you want to camp. You want to move through it, because it is a journey. But before you can move through stage four and get to stage five, which I have to tell you is a lot nicer, there is a place that this lady described as the wall. Have you ever heard the expression hitting the wall? Well, there's a wall in this journey as well. This is how she describes it. And I think it's really, really helpful language just for us to get a bit of a sense of what it might look like. In this place, faith looks like facing God with our will and choosing whether or not we will surrender our will to His. So the wall looks like knowing it's time to face the truth beneath the surface of our life, stopping pretending, actually going and letting our hearts be real and saying, this is actually what's going on in my heart. At the wall, it's time to let God's will be our will. which feels like dying, just like it did for Jesus in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." It felt like dying. And it was dying, death to him, death to himself, death to his own will. It feels like uncovering our deepest secrets, wounds, fears, and insecurities. Oh, who wants to do that? Not willingly. It feels like revisiting unconditional love. What does it mean that God actually doesn't love me according to my performance or what I deserve, but he actually just loves me? It feels like feeling like we're in the muck, like just so many things around us are horrible, not how we'd like them to be. One of the early Christians, St. John of the Cross, described it as the dark night of the soul. It's a beautiful description of what the wall feels like. It's about facing our fears about whether God will be there for us. Are you even real, God? And whether we're truly loved and accepted, whether his grace is enough for us. That's what happens at the wall. That's the work we have to do to go through the wall. It is the place of deep unsettling, a deep undoing, deep unknowing, deep uncertainty, deep mystery, but it's also a place of deep transformation. And as we journey out the other side of the wall, which can sometimes it can be something that takes only a few weeks, and sometimes it takes a few years to be in that space. It's not something that you can control, it's not something you can organise, it's not something you can make God do or make happen. But you can take comfort that this is not the end of the journey, and you can take comfort that the saints of old have all been here and come through the other side. You go to scripture and you see Moses, Joshua, David, Jesus, Peter, you look at them all, they've all had those wrestling, dark, discouraged, overwhelmed. Elijah, think about, like, they've all had them. And there's that word. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. So what's on the other side of the wall? I know you want to know, don't you? Stage five, she described as faith as surrendering to God. There's a new sense of God's acceptance for ourselves and for others. We're not doing that striving. There's more of that freedom that Zach was talking about, and that's beautiful how God tied in Tash and Michelle from worship and right through the freedom that we have in surrender. A new sense of value for this motley crew called church family. Those annoying, frustrating, disappointing people that are right next to you. A new sense of the value of being part of community. And the people who lead you, who are also like that. Annoying, frustrating, disappointing. There's a deeper concern and focus on others' best interests and less on ourselves. There's an inner calm or stillness. And we can genuinely pray to God, "God, I want more of you no matter the consequences," because we're truly convinced that he is good. And if he takes us somewhere, we're going to trust him that even in the really tough times, he is good. And the sixth one that she described was the life of love. She said faith is reflecting God. I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful to put it in our vision language and say becoming unmistakably like Jesus? So when people look at us, they see Jesus. Christ-like living in obedience, humility, and love. Wisdom that's been gained through life struggles. Compassionate living for others. Detachment from things. Our affection is no longer directed towards things or towards stress. And we live an abandoned life. We can say with Paul in Philippians chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Or, "For me, living means living for Christ, dying is even better." That's a life abandoned. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to leave us with a question, perhaps back with that group or that couple that you were speaking with. I'm going to pray for us because I think in this season, many people from our church family, many people from the broader church are in various stages of their faith journey, but in particular, because of the pandemic, because of the disruption, because of the uncertainty, because so many things are out of our control, I think many, many people are in stage four or at the wall. And if that's not you, then your job is to pray for and journey with and connect with and love and listen to people who are there. Even the people who've hurt you, the people who we feel like have dropped out of our church family. What if they've dropped out because they're there and they just need someone to connect with them, to love them, to be with them, to say, I don't need to fix you, I just need to love you and to be with you on this journey. What if we were that family that didn't just think, oh, I feel so rejected or hurt by people who haven't come back or whatever, but actually said, Jesus, what are you inviting me to be part of in reconnecting people and in journeying with them and loving them? I've actually wondered about whether I start a group this year just for people who are in stage four and at the wall. If you're interested or you know someone who's interested, you can come and see me afterwards. I don't even know what that group would look like. Maybe a whole lot of people sitting around going, is God real? Could be challenging, but the beautiful thing about coming out the other side is I know that I know that I know that God is good. And I know that he loves me and it's not about me. Absolutely about him, and that's a beautiful place to be. And I so want that we are a church family where there's people in every single stage of that. We've got brand new believers, we've got people learning and growing on the journey, we've got people who are journeying with people who are wrestling and struggling, and we've got people who are walking in that confident place of joy and peace, because no matter what life throws at them, they're with God in it. Yeah. So Jesus, this is your beautiful church family at Overflow, the ones that you love, the ones that are here today, the ones who've disconnected and are disappointed or hurt or angry or sad, the ones who are just lonely and lost. Father, the ones that you are inviting us to love on, to connect with, to care for, to pray for, to contend for, to just be with. Holy Spirit, wherever we're at, we're asking that you would just allow us that humility of surrender. Help us to just come empty. Come to you. Seek your face. And humbly do the journey with you. And let you do what you're wanting to do in drawing our hearts to you. If there's anyone that you want us to just love on this week, would you just bring that person to mind now? Just a word of encouragement. A word of hope. And if we're in that place of wrestle, of doubt, of confusion, of dislocation, Jesus, would you just give us your wisdom so we know who to connect with and how to take the next step on our journey through the wall with you. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. We declare that you are a true and faithful God, that you are good. Amen. So I'm just going to invite you to just have a think. I've put all those stages up on there so you can just have a think and just maybe chat with the person that you spoke with earlier. What stage of faith resonates with you, with where you're at the moment? And maybe take the opportunity to pray with each other, because that's what we do as church family, isn't it? We pray, we love each other, and we journey with each other. Thanks for being part of what God's doing here. I'm hoping this can go up on the website, so if there is some people that are friend that you think this would be helpful for, you might be able to refer them to it. There's also a website there. I've put that up there. And there's a lot more detail about some of the ways you are helpful in moving through the wall. It's a really great resource on that website. So that might be something you'd like to sort of follow up with as well. Thanks for listening. Love you lots.